Blog Talk Radio.
All right, I feel good today. Tell them how you feel, Gerald.
Just like fire, dear papa.
Come on, get up. Let's praise. Come on, Holy Ghost.
Just like fire,
dear papa. Talking about the Holy Ghost fire.
Holy hands, get your praise on as we lift up our God for being such a loving, kind, and beautiful creator to come into our lives and bless us with love, peace, and joy. And most of all, this wonderful gift of salvation that we receive from our Lord Jesus the Christ. Praise the Lord, and welcome, welcome, welcome to Fire, the gospel experience that is dedicated to honoring the only true and only eternally living creator God. Now, right now is the time, beloveds, to let our minds, bodies, and souls be renewed and refreshed in our relationship with our great, wonderful, and magnificent God, our Father, up in heaven. And there are not enough words in the human language to express the joy, the gratitude, and appreciation that we have for his precious and beautiful son, who is our Prince of Peace, our wonderful Messiah, Savior, and Redeemer, Jesus the Christ. I'm here as a living, breathing, walking, talking miracle to testify that Jesus the Christ is completely and unashamedly, unapologetically, as well as unequivocally declared to be the only Redeemer. He's the only acceptable Lamb of God. He is the only chosen one with the keys of life, death, hell, the grave, and to our beautiful, beautiful gift of eternal life. He's our only hope and light, is what I'm saying, y'all, for this lost, dark, and dying world that we're living in. Many blessings to each and every one of you beautiful souls. I'm your purpose and power-driven host, Ron E. Jefferson. And I'm here to bring you the most uplifting spiritual soul inspirations, as well as some of the most anointed, my God, gospel music that has ever been made and ever been played. Y'all gonna see, y'all gonna get your toes tapping, your fingers gonna be popping, head gonna be bobbing, and you ain't even gonna realize it because you're gonna be caught up in the spirit of this fire gospel experience. Fire the gospel experience, I promise you, will light, ignite, and fan those flames that's in your spirit, man, woman, boy, or girl. so that you could be that victorious believer in Jesus the Christ. But you got to be in. You can't be on the outside looking in, talking about, I might be saved, I think I'm saved, I want to be saved. You got to come on in and let Jesus, who's standing at the door of your heart knocking, you got to let him in. God simply wants to be in humble worship and fellowship with you. He's just looking for people that have knowledge of God. And I promise you, he's not a respected person. So, we will be embracing for your spiritual nutrition as well as your sanctified supplements from the book of Ephesians, the 5th chapter, verse 21. Where the Apostle Paul speaks on a much-needed issue, I'm afraid that is highly misunderstood by many. Submission. Oh, boy. Start trouble already. Submission is the main ingredient to accomplishing group and individual goals and assignments. This is a process that requires cooperation, unity, and purpose. The main impediment against submission is the overbearance of those with authority and oversight. When there is abuse from being heavy-handed in authority, there will always be resentment and possibly revolt. The submission that the Bible declares is for fluid function and not a detriment to one's own individual esteem and their self-worth. We're going to be talking about submission. And I'm probably going to share some things that not only need to be said, but probably have not been said, if ever, anytime soon. So my special guest is here, and she's going to share her thoughts as well. And she is going to certainly be a blessing, talking about educator, talking about author, and we're going to talk about her new book, literary projects that she has just written. I believe it's going to be a blessing to you, and especially to those children that she is focusing in on. As an educator and author, woman of God, Stacy Lynn Luckett is here. And boy, I'm telling you, she has, I'm sure, wonderful testimony, wisdom, and knowledge that's going to be a blessing to each and every one. And then, listen, later on in the broadcast, yes, I will be shining my artist spotlight on gospel artist, woman of God, Tiffany Andrews. Got to give a shout out to good brother, hardworking promoter, manager, Chris King. He's so busy. He blesses this fire gospel experience, sending so many anointed gospel music and anointed gospel artists and groups. I'm just so grateful for people like you, Brother Chris King, and others as well, managers, producers. You all contribute to this fire gospel experience and help make it the dynamic force that it is for our Lord Jesus. So listen, we've already had prayer. So why don't you go ahead and call a family member, a friend, a coworker, a neighbor, or whoever Holy Spirit God is putting in your spirit right now to join us on this fire gospel experience. It's going to be a blessing. God, we're going to lift up God. We're going to give him praise just like if we was at church. I don't wait till Sunday morning. I don't wait till I get to the church building. Praise is what I do. It's part of my regular spiritual life. So I have no problem giving God praise with this opportunity to be with you all for another fire gospel experience. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Holy Spirit God, for overseeing our lives, for continuing to light the fuse that's going to set the internet as well as the radio airwaves on Holy Ghost sanctified fire, fire, fire. I will certainly make sure that even with a bowed down head, I will lift up my eyes and look to the hills from whence cometh all of my help. And yes, indeed, my help comes from God Almighty. Thank you, woman of God, Nancy Michelle, my help. What a beautiful song and a beautiful way to start this fire gospel experience off, because I promise you there's not a person listening to this broadcast or walking on the face of this earth at some point in time that does not need help, and I'm here as a living witness for God Almighty. There is no greater help. There is no better one to call on than to call on our God. His son's name is Jesus, and he don't mind if you call his son. You can call him the Father. You can call Holy Spirit God. As long as you look to the hills, look up to where God is in heaven and get the help that you need. Thank you, woman of God, Nancy Michelle. You really, really put a groove spiritually in my spirit. My special guest is here. I am here to tell you that this woman is founder and CEO of Alive, A-L-I-V-E, the Academy for Learning in Virtual Environments. This is a learning support academy that goes beyond academics. An educator, my special guest turned CEO, stands on the foundation of building relationships, resilient advocacy, and passionate purpose. She offers hope to all that she encounters. Like W.B. Yeats, she believes that education is not the filling of a pail, but the lighting of a fire. Education is not the filling of a pail, but the lighting of a fire. I had to say that twice. That sounds so nice. She prides herself in helping others utilize their potential for development by not only understanding their emotions, but also holding them accountable and responsible for their own success. I love that part. She purports that she can inspire and encourage individuals to grow because she is excited about celebrating everyone's win, no matter how great or how small it may be. She's praised by her students, coworkers, and friends. This woman of God is characterized as a compassionate coach, a selfless supporter, y'all, and a motivational mentor who intentionally gifts herself circumspectly without respect of person. She never fails to leave her memorable affirmation, today is a great day to all of her hearers. She is certainly poised and prepared to facilitate the learning process of learners and help them to grow and to know. Listen, for over 2 decades, 20 years, she has been a licensed Arkansas certified English educator. She has also served in the capacity of an instructional facilitator, literacy, for grades 7 through 12, and elementary principal. She received a Bachelor of Arts degree in English from the University of Arkansas at Pine Bluff, UAPB, Golden Lion, and a Master of Science degree in Education and Curriculum and Instruction from Arkansas State University at Jonesboro. Even though she is in the process of obtaining her Doctorate of Education in Organizational Leadership with an emphasis on K-12 education, her most recent accomplishment is becoming an author, and she's here to talk about it. She has written a children's book and 4 affirmation coloring books. Wow, listen to this, y'all. The children's book is entitled He Calls Me Small, and the affirmation coloring books are titled Beautifully Colored Affirmation Coloring Books for African-American Girls. And do you see what I see? Affirmation coloring books for African-American boys. There are Spanish versions. Hello, hello, hello. Que pasa? For coloring books. She is committed to supporting learners on her journey and is thrilled to see learners shine, learners grow, learners come alive. Wow, what a resume. I could almost end the show right there, but no, because we want to hear from this dynamic woman of God, educator, author, woman of God, Stacy Lynn Lucky is here, y'all, on Fire the Gospel Experience. My God, my God. I feel like I made an introduction at the Academy Awards or the Stellar Awards or something. Welcome, 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 welcome to Fire the Gospel Experience, Woman of God, Stacy Lynn Luckett. How are you?
I am wonderful. That introduction made me laugh. Thank you so much. You did it. You delivered it so wonderfully well. It's good to be here.
Amen. Amen. I try to stay in my gift. I try to stay in my lane. I try to stay in my anointing. Woman of God, it is such an extreme pleasure on so many levels. Now, I want you to understand something, please. I told you before we went live to relax and just be yourself, which I fully believe that you'll do so. I don't want you to feel like what we want to share now has to try to be condensed into this one program, because the time is going to fly by. The conversation is going to get so beautiful, so engaging, and so impactful. I'm going to look up, and it'll be time for me to move on to the next portion of my show, rather. And that just gives me an excuse to just call you back, and we can continue on with this kingdom collaboration. So listen, woman of God, I ain't pressed for nothing. You hear what I'm saying? God has been so good to me. I'm just excited, and I'm enjoying my life in Christ because I've been through some dark valleys. I've had to climb up some rough mountains, and right now God has blessed me in a season of harvest and blessing. So I'm the happiest black Negro saved man that you know right now. So listen, woman of God, I want to just shine on you and let you introduce yourself to my listening audience. Maybe if you'd like to start from when you decide to be a Christian and accept Jesus Christ into your life, or wherever you choose, and then we'll just let the conversation flow from that point. How's that?
Oh, that's great. Thank you for introducing me. I don't think you left anything out, but I can say that from a Christian perspective, I remember my mom is a pastor. I've been in Christianship my entire life, but I can remember I think about 9 years old, and we were having Bible class at home. I have like 9 siblings. It's about 9 or 10 of us, so all of us were sitting down, and
that's amazing.
Yeah, but it wasn't that many at the time. It is now. But we were sitting down, and Mom was teaching Bible study, and she was talking about being saved. And I remember inwardly saying, I want to be saved. I want to be saved. Okay, I got to be saved. I want to go to heaven. And I remember asking for a sign. And I asked the Lord to let me see the star fall, the falling star. And so Mom said, he'll do it. He'll do it if you believe and you confess. And so I believed and I confessed. I went through the protocols and I really did believe. So we stood outside and I looked in the sky and we waited for a little while. And just as I was turning, I said, oh, well, let me go back in and do it again. Just as I was turning, guess what fell from the sky?
Come on, come on.
It was a falling star, and I started jumping up and down.
Oh, my goodness.
And the star fell, And then I had to ask, I had to be sure. I said, well, there's one more thing, Lord. I want my navel to fall. Now, that's crazy. I know, right? So I was sitting there, and no one knew about the navel thumping. I was sitting there, and I was really excited about the star falling. And then all of a sudden, guess what happened? My people start thumping.
No.
Yeah, that's what happened. I was like, yes, it did.
Oh,
I was 9 years old, and so that's what happened. And, hey, I accepted him then, and I've been going at it ever since. Been some ups and downs, and, you know, this faith walk hasn't been easy. It's been a daily process, but I'm still here, and I'm so thankful for it, so. That's that.
What an amazingly transparent, affectionate, and cute story that is. That is wonderful. Our childhood memories are beautiful for us to have reflection, because I know that the little boy, the child that I was, I have kept alive in me, because I can reflect back on the simple things that used to make me happy. And it's just amazing on how we can find so much joy and so much precious energy from just reflecting back on those precious times in our childhood. Like you said, they all weren't easy. Some of them were very challenging. But look at where we are now as a result of asking God to help us maybe reflect back on things that actually led us up to where we are today. Now, you being who you are as a woman of God, how is it that you were able to see and then vision and then maneuver your way into education? What was the longing in your heart that wanted you to, first of all, get into English, which is one of my favorite subjects? English, literacy, history, those are the things that I've always just been naturally drawn to. I can balance a checkbook, but I ain't trying to be no accountant. So how would you like to share with us, yeah, that's the truth, about how you found your way through just how God just so selectively put things before you and got your attention, and then you developed an attraction to be where you are now. How did that process take place?
You will not believe this. I went kicking and screaming. I did not want to be an educator. I did not want to be a teacher. My mom told me when I was a little girl that the Lord told her that I was going to be an English teacher. And I was like, Mama, I don't know what you're talking about. The Lord ain't told you that,
because
I wanted to be a singer and I want to be an actress. I could sing really well, and I was really good on, you know, with plays and stuff. And so I was going to Hollywood to sing and to act, and that was that. But life has a way of happening, and God has a way of putting you just where you need to be. Actually, the birth of my first son changed my life. I had these plans, and when my son came into play, the only thing that mattered was being the best mom for him. And I went back to school. Teachers that it was really twofold. I went back to school, and teachers that were out here at the University of Arkansas, Pine Bluff, Dear Mother, were very influential for me. But also reflecting back onto my favorite teacher, my seventh grade English teacher, Ms. Doris LeJune Nash, who's no longer on this earth, she was such a motivational factor, planting seeds and watering those seeds. At the time, I did not understand it, but when I got on campus, God gave the increase, and here I am, and I absolutely love what I do. So I went kicking and screaming, but hey, I'm here.
Amen. And I believe that's helpful for a lot of us, too, because sometimes, you know the old saying, he who fails to make plans, plans to fail. I can recall Reverend Jackson over at my church, New St. Hurricane, saying that this morning in Sunday school. And we can make plans, but I'm just grateful that God has a much greater plan for us. And then, like you said, kicking and screaming, but then after a while, we'll start seeing evidences of what could be considered as coincidence by some. But when you have a spiritual mindset, you understand that things are being strategically placed before us to
help
some of these things out of our spirit. And you know what? Sometimes we don't even know we like a certain something until we walk through a certain door, or until we go down a certain path, or until we get exposure to certain people. Like you said, your seventh grade teacher. I can remember my sixth grade teacher, Miss Ethel Beecher. She pulled out of me a creative side, because back when we were going to school, way back in the prehistoric days, you remember how we used to get citizenship marks as well as grades?
Yeah.
I would get A's and B's, and I'd get twos and threes in citizenship, because I'm like you. I wanted to be an entertainer. You wanted to be Diane Carroll or Dionne Warwick. I wanted to be like Chris Rock, you know what I'm saying? So I'm entertaining folks, and I'm finished with my schoolwork. I'm getting A's and B's, so now I got all this energy. I want to just entertain. I want to just make, you know, my friends laugh. So I got twos and threes. But Miss Ethel Beecher, she had a parent-teacher's conference with my mother. She said, Ron is good. He's smart. He's intelligent. He does his work. But he finishes fast, and then he's got all this extra energy. So what she did is she gave me a whole board on the classroom to do whatever I want. I can use construction paper. I can paint on it. And I was the only student that had that privilege. But see, to this day, over four decades later, I still remember her and reward her for having the insight as my teacher. And see, we have to respect teachers and educators because you all are the ones that make the first great impact other than the parents on people's lives. So, Miss Ethel Beecher, if you're still on this earth, girlfriend, thank you. I love you. I appreciate you. And if you're not, I'll see you in heaven one day. So, Lady Stacy, the difference between when you and I went to school is like worlds apart. We never had gun violence. We never had mass shootings.
Right.
The biggest thing that we had to deal with is somebody, you know, we would pass a note and we said, do you like me? Yes or no? And then they said no, now we ruined, right? That was the biggest thing we had to deal with. And then every now and then there was a fight, you know, but that was it. So as an educator, you have much more requirements and challenges in educating now, because now our school grounds, unfortunately, have become somewhat of battlegrounds. So what would you suggest that we as parents, as uncles, as neighbors and elders, how can we kind of mend the gap between generations so that they won't feel like we don't care for them and so that they won't be acting like they don't care for us?
You know, this is such a complex issue, the problems that we are experiencing now. And when you look back to what was going on, the world was just different then. We had mothers and fathers in the homes, and we had grandparents, and it was truly a village. If I did something down the street, Miss Simpson was going to tear me up, and then before I could get home good, it had already reached my mom and dad. I'm going to get another one. So it's very different now. But I think what we need to do is I think we need to communicate better. We don't have great communication with our kids. We don't communicate with each other effectively. We don't actively listen. We don't spend time as a family together. And I think the whole thing is just communicating more and spending time with our own kids. I remember once, I think it was Ms. Williams, and I'm going to try to wrap this up. I remember talking with someone, I think it was Ms. Williams, and she was, someone came up to her daughter, walked up to her, and typically when a kid interrupts us, we said, don't you dare interrupt me. Don't you see I'm talking? you be respectful. Yeah. But what this lady did, she said, excuse me, Ms. Luckett, and she looked at her daughter, and she said, yes, sweetheart. And her daughter wanted to tell her something about her baby doll had fallen or something. And it really struck me as interesting, and I asked her, why did you do that? And she said, I'll never be to you what I won't be to my own. And it just really shocked me. We don't spend enough time pouring into our own. We don't spend enough time embracing our own. We are allowing these devices to raise our children when we need to reel it back in and just sit down and have conversations. Let's put the phone away. Let's put the games away. And let's just talk. How are you doing? How are you really doing? And I think it starts with communication. That's just one of the things, for sure. We have several, but we can start with how do we communicate? Showing up.
Well, that's okay. We'll be able to chop it up and break some of it down. I told you if we need to engage in future broadcasts. We'll just go from wherever we leave off from this point. But before we were went live, I was sharing with you, I'm conscious about all generations. I'm conscious about the generations that are elderly that were here before us. I'm conscious about the younger generations that are coming behind us. So I want to be a part of all of this world, generation of people. And I stay in an area where I see school children passing my front yard all the time, playing out there in the street. And what I've noticed, Lady Stacy, is that I will intentionally engage them and speak, and they'll look up and be shocked. They'll be surprised. It's almost like they don't even expect to be any type of just any type of interaction, even passing by, even someone speaking. If you're not part of my generation, I don't even look to acknowledge you, and I don't expect to be acknowledged. So what you're saying about communication is critical, is true. And every time I speak to my younger generation, what I'm trying to do is plant a seed in them that I do see you, I do acknowledge you, and you are of value.
Right. Right. I certainly agree with that. A lot of our can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay, I certainly agree with you. A lot of our students, our younger kids, they do not feel valued. They do not feel that the older generation understands their plight, what they're going through. And it's really hard being a student on these campuses now. I do know that there is a huge gap, a huge break in just knowing how to communicate with students, because they are very angry, they're very aggressive, and a lot of them have a right to be so, because some of the environments that they live in is not conducive to being happy. Some of them are in very, very deplorable living conditions. We have so many homeless. You wouldn't believe the number of homeless students that we have on campus.
Wow.
The number of the number of students who are living in apartments that their parents are paying for, and their parents are staying with their boyfriend, and they don't want to mother or they don't want to father. You would be surprised at the social issues that our kids are having and expected to go and do well in school. So I thank you for at least acknowledging them and trying to plant seeds of positive seeds into their lives and showing them, hey, I'm here, opening my arms to you. It is very necessary.
Amen. And one of the things that I'm conscious of, Lady Lynn, is that as adults, we need to reflect back on when we were children. Yes, the times have been very challenging, difficult, and dreadful sometimes. We've had mass school shooting, which now I need to switch gears real quick and go to the spiritual side of this conversation, because for someone to walk into an education facility for children and commit mass murder is the work of the devil. See, people have to understand that it's not just difficult times that we're living in, but there are spiritual entities out there that take influence over people's minds to commit these heinous acts of homicide and violence. That's why we are Christians. We're not just Christians because we think we're better than everybody else. We have these high moral spiritual values that we live by, and we snub everybody else. No. What it is that we understand that we're living in a world, woman of God, where there is a spiritual realm and there is an earthly realm. And the point that I want to make here for you is that when they told us that parents, if you spank your child, that's considered abuse. That was the first thing that I held against Dr. Spock, because Dr. Spock back in the early 70s was talking about take a time out. Sit little Jimmy and little Jenny over in the corner And all they would do is just stew and fume. And after they realized that their behavior did not require any consequences besides a timeout, they lost any type of respect for consequential bad behavior. So the
right.
other thing they did is they took prayer out of the school. They took the Pledge of Allegiance mm-hmm. out of the school, which was just eliminating a spiritual influence in schools. And when they did those two things, that's when the devil and demonic dark forces moved right into our educational system, because wherever God is not, the devil and his dark influence will certainly take up residence. What's your thoughts on that, woman of God? You're a teacher and a Christian, so I know you have some perspective on that.
Well, I will say that I certainly agree with you that this is a spiritual fight. We know that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but we wrestle against those mm-hmm. powers and principalities and high places. I do
That's
agree
right.
with you. But I think even before we allowed them to take prayer out of school, I think in many of our homes, mm-hmm. prayer was absent. I think
okay,
that
good.
We, because if it were not, we would not have allowed this to take place. One person stood up to say, hey, I don't want this to be. And one person said, no, it should not be. And there we have it. If we had all of the people praying like they say they are, believe in prayer, believe in Bible, this is their core principle, that we would have band together to fight against it. So I think that the family structure, the belief systems, I think that they had started to shift in the first place. So what
yes.
we see happening in our homes is what we see happening in our society. What we see happening in our homes is what we see happening in our churches. What we see happening in our homes is what we see happening in our school systems. So I think that this is just what we see in these organizational structures is a reflection what is or is not happening in our homes. So
that's good. That's good. That's good. You broke that down, sister girl. You took care of that right there. And after the music break, we're going to take it a little bit further, because we're going to stay right in that peace conversation. And I know we're going to talk about your book projects. I want my listeners to be aware of the phenomenal work that you're doing to get the intellect, the attention of young minds with these literary pieces that you have. But I need to comment a little bit about what you said about in our homes, in our communities, particularly in African-American family. After the civil rights movement, when we attained a little bit of freedom, it seemed like that's when attendance for churches dropped off, because, you know, people get real spiritual and real religious during tough times. Like a lot of people incarcerated, man, they find God, and then when they get out, all of a sudden, thank you, God, let me go and take care of the rest of my life. There's an abandonment after the difficult times over. We're going to talk about that after the music
break.
You're tuned in to Fire the Gospel Experience. I got a woman of God that's agreeing with her brother, because we just tell us to sanctify gospel too. Here's man of God, Tim Woodson, and the Heirs of Harmony. After you have gone so far and done so many different things, after a while, you just need to just go and move upstairs to where your next blessing is. Thank you, Jesus.
Let's go way back and do an old song. Songs that they don't sing no more. Come around and give me that old time and key. Lord, I said one time was satisfied. He liked things lived as well. I didn't know I was just a prisoner in a cell. A carpenter from Galilee. Oh yeah, oh yeah. Oh, yeah. He would carry me, take me up from my childhood snare to meet loved ones who'll be waiting. What you say, boy? I'm gonna move, gonna move upstairs. I'm going in my room upstairs. Oh, that is why I'm so happy in spite of all my trials. I'm getting ready to move. Oh, I'm gonna move.
Listening to Fire, the gospel explosion where the praises are going up and the worries are going away. Playing for you the best and the newest gospel music on the planet and the most inspiring encouragement under God's heaven. Keep tuning in and bless your family, your friends, and your coworkers by telling them about Fire.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Fire, fire, fire. The gospel experience that is your evangelistic outreach missionary radio platform where we honor and glorify God and we invite all of the listeners to have a relationship with God for themselves. And if you already do, reach and strive further and higher to know God more intimately. And if you don't know God, we invite you to trust Jesus Christ for yourself as your personal Savior, because the Bible is correct. There will come a time, woman of God, Lynn Luckett, where we all must stand before the white throne judgment and give an account for the life that we live. I want to thank Tim Woodson and the Heirs of Harmony for moving this platform upstairs to a higher height. We just were discussing before the music break, woman of God, that it seems like we are not fully aware that this world that we're living in is spiritual warfare. I mentioned that shortly after the Civil Rights Movement, I know I was just a youngster, but I've done my history, and it seemed like that the church attendance did not have the strong influence that it once had when there were Jim Crow, when there were lynching, when there was open segregation and prejudice against people of color, we turned to God. And that's sort of reminiscent of what the Bible taught about the children of Israel. Whenever they were being oppressed by other nations, by other armies, by other kings and regions, they cried out unto the Lord. But as soon as prosperity came, seemed like we forgot about God. So I understand what you said. You make a very valid point about it's got to come from the home first. And I was not fully aware, like you stated, about the deplorable situation that some of the children are having to face. I knew about some, you know, disparaging home situations, low income, crime-infested neighborhoods, but I had no idea that there were children out there that were homeless. Woman of God, you said that you agree that you do understand that we have lost our spiritual connection because certain elements of our lives, as far as race, ethnicity is concerned, social classes, are not as openly against us. So we have kind of let our spiritual guard down, thinking that, okay, now we've arrived, now I'm okay, now I can take matters into my own hand and kind of put faith in God in the back burner. What would you say, woman of God?
You know, you mentioned the turn of things for the black family with the civil rights movement. I don't know if you know Dr. Betty Wright. She is a phenomenal professor at the University of Arkansas Pine Bluff. When Selma, the movie Selma came out, we as a sorority, we went to see it, and Dr. Wright was one of our speakers. She was actually in Selma. She experienced the whole event. And one thing that she said, and I thought was phenomenal, she said that, you know, when I look at our kids now, I have to say that we have to take ownership, those of us who went through that period, because when we came on the other side of it, we did not want our children to suffer. We did not want our children to experience anything remotely like we went through. And some of those things, the hardship caused us to band together. We didn't want our children to have to go through anything. So she said that we have to take the blame to where our students, our children are right now, today, because we turned from our core beliefs that we stood on. We turned from, we went more towards the mandate and the beliefs that others, other races, other ethnicities, we turned to those beliefs and we embraced those beliefs as truth. And we walked away from our own core beliefs. So I certainly agree with you that time, since that time, it negatively, it did positively impact the black race, but it also negatively affected us because our families are dismantled, I think, largely due to our turning away from our core beliefs that once gelled us together, held us together as a race, as a people, as a family.
Amen. Well, that'll be something that among, like you said, the many dynamics that we have to deal with in our time, specifically as a people, and I know all races have their challenges and have their areas of improvement that needs individual attention, but I'm a firm believer that, you know, we have to sweep around our own front door first. We have to take care of our own neighborhoods and stop waiting on a handout, stop waiting on a stimulus check, stop waiting on something to come in the mail that's going to bail us out when actually you already said it. We have to start where the root of our family start is, and it's in our own home. But first of all, it's got to start in our individual mind. Regardless of the circumstances, we have to believe inside of ourselves that I am part of the solution. I am part of the remedy. It has to start with me. And then we have to collectively find the same mindset so that we as a force together can make a change. Woman of God, you have been blessed to author new books, and I am just dying with the time that we have left for you to go ahead and introduce these literary pieces and explain them to us so that my listeners can just buy out every single one of them that you got.
You know, and I hope I don't run out of time with this. You know, I've always wanted to be an author. I wasn't sure that I could do it, but I always wanted to do it. I loved books. I dreamed in books. I learned in them. Books taught me to escape. It helped me to escape.
Okay.
And so
yeah.
I wanted to do it. Wasn't sure that I could. Thankful to a young lady named Kenesha Barnes Adams, who said I gave her first teaching position when I was principal. She said, "Miss Lucky, yes, you can. I'm going to help you." And I've always been creative, so the manuscript piece was very easy for me, but the process of pulling it all together, I just didn't know how. And I have to give credit to her. She was really instrumental in helping me bring this project to fruition. But, you know, when I was younger, I would read. I've lived in castles. I've had my hair to stretch down so somebody could climb up it. I've been deep in the forest going to grandma's house, and I've had glass slippers on. I've been asleep for my prince to wake me up and all of that.
Yeah.
And those things made me so happy. I loved reading. I loved it, right? But as I got older, I didn't realize that the very books that I read that made me happy seemingly made me sad. The books that read did not look like me. The books that I read told me that beautiful was long hair, long fine hair, was white, was light. It certainly was not the color of my skin, right? I was talking to a friend of mine today, and we were talking about it, and it was so amazing. She said, "I didn't enjoy being dark when I was young either. I never saw it." And we have to afford children the opportunity to engage in books that affords them the opportunity to look like them, sound like them, walk like them, talk like them, right? And that has not happened in the classroom. Did you know research says that about 10% of the images that elementary students engage with are African American, 90% are Caucasian. So our students do not get an opportunity to see themselves lifted in a positive manner. Let me tell you this. When I was a little girl, and my friend had the same thing, do you know, and I'm in tears when I think about it now, I would secretively, I love Cinderella, it was my favorite book, but I would secretively go into the bathroom and get one of the long towels and put on my head because it was my hair, and I would swing the towel back and forth because I wanted to look like the image that was in the book. And it wasn't until later on in life, even as an adult, that I was able to understand how the effect of not seeing images that look like me, not engaging in text that was represented in my own home. And I think her name is Rudine Bishop. She calls this mirrors, windows, and a sliding glass. We have to afford kids the opportunity to see themselves. But not only that, we have to, that's the mirrors piece, but the windows piece is we're looking at other genders, other races, other nationalities, and their experiences, and we can appreciate it, right? And then the sliding glass is, hey, I can transport myself to these foreign places and experience their experiences. And that is, we say that we sit education on top of this concept, but it's not what's really happening in classrooms. So I fussed about it, talked about it over these 26, 27 years of education, and I finally decided to do something about it. And so what I did was I used to say, oh, it's just a little coloring book. And I stopped quantifying that it's a beautiful coloring book. It's an amazing coloring book, and it's called Beautifully Colored Affirmation Coloring Book for African American Girls. Now, even though I say for African American girls, this book is just not for African American girls. It's for all girls.
Amen.
I want you to open up. I just needed for our girls to be able to open up a book, to have affirmations. When I look in the mirror, I see a polite girl, a beautiful girl, a positive girl, and color images that look like them. But also white girls, Hispanic girls, Asian girls can color the same image and receive the same affirmation. So that's what I did for, that was my very first one. And then my second coloring book, well, my nephew's, because this book was really centered around my granddaughter, Carson. And so my next color, my nephews were like, well, what about us? And I said, you know what? You are so right. So I created an affirmation coloring book for African-American boys called Do You See What I See? Because what the news media, what media period shows the world that our boys are incarcerated. They're in gangs. They're fighting. You don't get to see a whole lot of positive things about African-American boys, and I want them to see what I see. They are brave.
Amen.
They are confident.
Yeah.
They are kind.
Beautiful.
You know, they're gifted, and so they're scientists. So they get to open up a coloring book, and they get to see images that look like them depicting all of these characteristics. And it has to start when we're young. And so what I did was I also had these books translated because Hispanic, Asian, those populations need to color and engage with texts that look like them, sounds like them as well. Because the whole concept of multiculturalism and cultural responsive pedagogy is not just you're giving this type of information and images to this group and it's only for this group. No, it's for all of us all of us. So that all of us can grow, can know and to grow.
That's right.
And my first children's lit book is called He Calls Me Small. And the muse behind this book is my son Joshua and his daughter Carson. They have an amazing, amazing bond with each other. And my son is an amazing young man. He's an amazing father. I watch him comb hair, wash hair, teach her how to tie her shoes. He spends time with her. From the time she was born, she was a small little gangly thing, and he always called her, come here, Smalls, wake up, Smalls. Smalls is kind of Smalls. Did your mama tell you to do this? Smalls, get in here. So it's always Smalls. And I said, how befitting is it to tell a story of a father and his daughter through the eyes of the daughter? And I just titled it, He Calls Me Smalls. And my son he's just an amazing young man. And I wanted to put into the world and let the world know that we are to honor fathers, and fathers make a difference in the lives of their children. And I wanted just to raise the awareness of how essential dads are to us all. Mothers always get a lot of credit. On Mother's Day, you just see the celebration is huge. On Father's Day, so much. But this is my way of putting kindness. It's our responsibility to put good and kindness back into the world. And this is my way of putting kindness back into the world. And you can purchase all of these books on Amazon. Just put my name, Stacy Luckett, in, and all of my books will show up. And just hit buy, and I'm going to collect those coins and say, yay.
Get them.
So,
yes. Amen. So. I think that is just absolutely phenomenal. That is wonderful. That is fabulous. And my prayer and what my hope and desire is that everybody that's listening to this broadcast, you all can just feel the vibrational joy that this woman has after 26 years in being in a field that she absolutely loved. It seems like now that she's also found the cherry on the top of all of this dedication and this joyful work that she's found herself in. So what it is that God has taken her dedication to a higher level of joy and personal fulfillment that's going to make a difference in the lives of someone else. Use Woman of God Stacy Lynn Lockett as an example for yourself. Do what you can and watch and pray for God to do exceedingly abundantly all more than we ask or think. I'm quoting scriptures right there if y'all didn't know. God said if you trust in him, he'll take you to higher places that you never could have achieved on your own and probably have never even prayed for. This is the nature of our God. He knows what's best for us, and he does what's always in our best interest. Woman of God, fabulous work that you're doing. I appreciate you, what you're doing. Is there a contact number or email address in case someone wants to use your educational parental expertise in some way where they may want to reach out for you as a mentor, as a sister in Christ, as somebody that can help them maybe mend some relationships, maybe share some wisdom with people that want to do well but don't quite know how? And then if you'd like to, I know you shared your information about your book, but if you'd like to share your Facebook page as well, so that people can just maybe kind of follow some of your wisdom there. If there are events going on here that's connected with UAPB or Pine Bluff as a whole, for those that don't know, our city, Pine Bluff, Arkansas, is in a revitalization. Our city has a rebirth. We are regrowing from the urban district out. We have a brand new library, state of the art. We have a brand new aquatic center, state of the art. We have a brand new casino, in spite of the debate on how people feel about it. We are revitalizing our neighborhood, building homes. We are transforming our parks, and it is just a phenomenal thing going on. I had to put that plug in there, Woman of God, because Pine Bluff has had that stigma of being so crime infested and violent and things like that. But the good people, the godly people, always get overlooked. I grew up in Detroit. I was born here in Pine Bluff. They took me to Detroit when I was 6. I came back home to Pine Bluff when I was 46. So for me, that 40 years is prophetic, if you know what I'm saying. It's biblical. And the same tag that I saw on Detroit as being such a rowdy place, such a place of violence, I saw the same tag being put on Pine Bluff where the good people are being overlooked. So what I'm saying, Woman of God, and I want you to share your information if you choose, is that it's time for us good people to all come together and be a force for good and take a stand against all the negativity that's going on around us. Is there anything that you want to share so that people can reach out to you, and or any final last words of wisdom?
Okay, I will give you this number. If you are interested in talking with me about my products, if you're interested in getting tutoring for your daughter, your son, yourself, you can contact me at 318-995-4811. That's 318-995-4811. Please leave a message and I will return your call. You can also email me at stacyleckett@alive-academy.org. That's Stacy, S-T-A-C-Y, Luckett, L-U-C-K-E-T-T, @alive-academy.org. Send me an email, and I will be glad to respond to it. And I guess the final words that I want to say is that it takes a village, and if we want to turn things around, we truly have to come together, and we have to really understand the importance of that Ephesians 5:21, that submitting to one another, this whole spirit of reciprocity. And when I stand in your strength and you stand in my strength, there is no weakness and we can move forward. I'm so appreciative for you, Minister Jefferson, to invite me to your segment, and I look forward to interacting with you again. It has been a beautiful conversation, and I feel humbled, and I'm grateful for being a part of your experience.
Amen.
Thank you.
Amen. Thank you so much. We were blessed and honored to have you. I believe in building kingdom collaborations, kingdom connections, because the gifts that you have were meant to be shared, and the gifts that I have were meant to be shared. When we can stop competing with each other with our gifts and start complementing each other with our gifts, we'll see changes being made, because God will smile on us. He will extend his favor and blessings on our lives as we actively pursue what's good, what's right, and what's pleasing to God. And then we will be creating the best portion of heaven on earth that we can. Amen.
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 Woman of God. Lifetime, long-term, committed, passionate, educator, woman of God, author. Stacey Lynn Lockett was here, y'all. Can't wait to have her come back. Thank you for joining us, woman of God. You be blessed in Jesus. We love you. Ain't nothing you can do about it. Amen. Amen. That's what I'm talking about, y'all. Oh, wow. You anointed, gifted people of God just come in and y'all just bless a brother. It helps me because I need all the inspiration that I can get, and I can feel the vibration, the joy, the spirit of God in each one of you all. When y'all come to this fire gospel experience, I'm getting lifted every time I have this wonderful opportunity to be here to present these amazing people of God to each one of you as we share our faith in God and God alone. It's a collective kingdom building process that we have here on this fire gospel experience. Now, I just want you all to know, just like woman of God, Catrice Cornett. Oh, boy. Sometimes you just have to just be strong and courageous. And these are the elements of faith that makes the difference. Hallelujah. Come on, woman of God. Tell it. Tell it.
Your time has come. Your time is now. I have chosen you to possess the land that I have promised you. Don't be afraid. I have prepared you. Remember the word that I spoke to you. I am.
I am strong and courageous.
I am
strong.
I will not
live in fear.
I am strong.
I am.
Yes,
strong.
I am. I am strong.
Oh, yeah.
your time has come. It is right now.
God has chosen you.
No more fear, no more fear, no more fear.
I am courageous. Hello, I'm Tanisha Collins, happily married wife of 27 years, best-selling author, speaker, marriage coach, and child of the Most High God. Grateful to God Almighty who called me to celebrate who He is in the highest. If you're in search of someone who will speak life, love, and strength over marriages with the spirit of worship, praise, and thanksgiving for your conference, revival, seminar, or fellowship, please contact me via email at mrstanishacollins@gmail.com. To view dates and times for my teaching ministry, to browse my selection of books and services, or to book me for your next event, visit my website, TanishaCollins.com. That's TenishaCollins.com. You are listening to Fire, the gospel experience, where the fire is a moving, uplifting, and unrestrained experience of biblical inspiration and gospel music. I am inviting you to let the light of Jesus Christ shine bright in your life. Be a blessing to your family, your friends, and your co-workers by telling them about Fire. It's all about kingdom building.
Evil beats chosen. One. The original.
Back then I didn't have this inspiration. Things changed now.
Run my gun to soon. I'm still trying to process this. My mistake, trying to hold it down like you promised me. You said I can make it first without being in a rush. All the troubles I've been through, I know now why you pray so much. Faith in the passion. Why dealing with my divorce on being homeless twice?
I swear,
this was the last one. My ex got me in jail, lied to the judge right in my face. Sometimes loyalty is just a word. Let's get that straight. The death been around without telling my side of the story. I stay silent and let him speak. So I said, speak for me. In my battles, Lord, speak for me. If another judge, speak for me. Some broken pieces covered with many stitches. I was lost in my ways.
I was buried in my shame.
And I try to stay solid and I pray for better days. Who would've thought I would've made out of hell? Who would've knew I felt? Only God knew I was going through hell. What a story to tell. I've burned so many bridges. My heart broken and pieces. Tired of the same thing. Here I am again, full of sin. Empty me of this world, from the way to grace. Trying to move forward but stuck in the same place. Tired of being left in the same race. God's my only judge, so I won the case. Judge, speak for me. Lord, I say speak. Lord, I say.
Like some broken pieces covered with many stitches. I was left in my way. I was buried in my
gotta judge.
Speak for me, Lord.
Lord, I say, Lord, I say, DJ Hardcore, got some music on top. Y'all know what's going on, Chosen in the building. Number one record.
Take a listen. Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ to the streets with Man of God, Chosen One, on this fire gospel experience. And before Man of God, Chosen One, talking about Speak For Me, Lord, Speak For Me, we heard from Woman of God, Catrice Cornette, telling us to be strong and courageous. You're tuned in to fire, y'all. The gospel experience, where we let these gospel artists just do what they do. Bless us with their anointing as they honor God. Here's Woman of God, Simona W. Music with Bloom, because that's what we do. God plants the seed. He waters it. We wait for our manifestation of being a new creature in Christ, and then we just bloom, just like flowers in the garden. Yes.
You've watched me grow, been there from the start, was a kid uncared for, but you gave me a family, everything I needed, and so much more. You gave me you, been more than enough, even when it gets rough. Lost, you found me. You called my name and said, live for me. You gave me water and sunshine.
Grace and mercy keep me growing.
Hallelujah, you proved me. Yeah, it hurt, but now I'm blooming.
Had to learn you want the best for me. Now I'm expanding exponentially.
You gave me you. Been more than enough. Even when it gets rough.
To keep me growing.
Hallelujah, you prune me. Yes, it hurt, but I'm blooming. Had to learn you want the best for me. Now I'm expanding exponentially.
Woman of God, Simona here on this fire gospel experience. When you place your life into the hands of the Almighty One, the Creator, He is the master architect of our lives. He is the creator of all things known and unknown. So when you trust in God and say, God, here's my life. Mold me, make me, shape me into what you will have me to be. You can't help but bloom just like flowers in springtime. Thank you, Lord God, for molding us. into such beautiful fashion, into the very image of your Son, Jesus the Christ. And that's what it's all about. And it takes submission. Something that we really don't like to talk about, because that word has been so abused and so redefined that God has placed it in my spirit to just share a little bit about that word submission, so that we can recapture the true meaning and the beauty of submitting. Because you have to understand that it was a tactical maneuver in words to change the meaning and make it something that we just refuse to participate in. Reading from the King James Version of the Bible, Ephesians 5:21 says, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Honoring Christ by submitting to each other, as being read by the Living Bible Translation. You wives must submit to your husband's leadership in the same way you submit to the Lord. For a husband is in charge of his wife in the same way Christ is in charge of his body, the church. He gave his very life to take care of it and be its savior. So you wives must be willingly obey your husbands in everything, just as the church obeys Christ. Now, I know that the sisters listen to this broadcast and just been beat over the head with that scripture so much. Wives obey. And that is a tactic of the devil, because some men, intentionally or unintentionally, were very heavy-handed with that word submission, because it's just human nature for so many of us. We just want our say to be the last word. We just want to rule. We just want everything to go our way, either our way or the highway. But I believe the greatest impediment that we Christians make in regard to the following and transmitting of God's holy word is when we're dissecting a certain portion of scripture and then isolated without all of the relevant dynamics. Now, the first address made by the Apostle Paul to the Ephesian church in this portion of his letter is, pay attention to this dynamic. It says, follow God's example in everything you do, just as much as a loved child imitates his father. Now, that word submission has been translated in follow. Amen. Let's soften the harsh edge of how submission has been bombarded and so heavily abusive in its use. We're talking about follow. Submission, it doesn't even start with man. Submission is the ordinance given by God to man to follow. There we go. Follow. That's all we're talking about. Follow. And then even demonstrated by our God-man, Savior, Redeemer, Jesus the Christ. Philippians 2:8 says, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient. Hello. Starting to get a better understanding. Follow. Obedient. And became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Submission, or shall I say, the willingly giving of oneself for the greater good and to the glory of God. In the case of us as believers and followers of Christ, yes, it's called follow the leader. 1 Corinthians 11:1 says, be ye followers of me. This is the Apostle Paul talking to the Corinthian church. Even as I also am of Christ. I'm following. I'm obedient. And I'm following. What the devil has done is use abusive men and this world societal view to redefine the word submission into something that should be or would be shunned and disavowed from. I don't want that. Submission. I don't submit to that. Ruthless and insensitive men, people, have mishandled the word of God as a battering ram rather than a sweet love song, which would indeed never gender full compliance and cooperation from the woman or the wife who is to be loved just as the man the husband loves himself. Now, how many men out there are going to beat on themselves and control and manipulate and dominate themselves? No one. So that lets you know that this is not the man to follow. Verse 21 says, honor Christ by submitting to each other. Now, let's talk about submission mutually. First of all, our submission, it honors God. Let's have that perspective put into its proper place. Honoring God is the greatest submission that we could ever make. It's a spiritual connection that we make so that we can move forward with the destiny and purpose of our lives. Submission includes everyone, from the pulpit to the very last back pew. Verse 22 says, you wives must submit to your husband's leadership in the same way you submit to the Lord. Now, this is the most interesting part of this scripture that just dawned on me today. God gave me a fresh awakening when it comes to this particular scripture. It's very interesting that wives are addressed first. Wait a minute, I thought husbands, I thought the men were the leaders and the priests of the household. But the first person spoken to is the wife. And yes, it may indeed be that Eve, our spiritual mother, was deceived in the Garden of Eden by the devil and the serpent. Genesis 3 and 13 says, then the Lord God said to the woman, what is this that you have done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled and deceived me. So, yes, 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 I'm sure that may have something to do with why the Apostle Paul, as being inspired by Holy Spirit God, spoke to the wife first. But listen to this. I believe also that God appointed the woman, wife, to be the support for when the husband needed. The wife carries a very strong spiritual influence in the marriage, in the home, in the family. It's all by God's design. That's why they're so emotional. Their emotions have opened the door for their spirituality to be born. It's so easy for women to just accept God because they have a nurturing spirit, and God is the nurturer of nurturers. So God knew, reading from 1 Corinthians 7 and 14, for the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife, and the unbelieving wife is sanctified by the husband. Else were your children unclean, but now are they holy. So when we're talking about people that are married to unbelieving people, the scripture tells us that the unbelieving husband is first of all sanctified by the wife, who is a believer. Now, if an unbelieving husband is sanctified by the believing wife, then most certainly a believing husband is greatly benefited by a believing wife. Again, this is all by God's design. And this is paramount in our understanding to scripturally deflect from the low position that the word submission has been tagged with. And if the word submission is a bother, let me reclaim a fresher distinction by serving the word up as cooperation. Trusting that God has put this man, husband, into the woman, wife's life to provide for her utmost, very best in my body and spirit. Verse 23 says, for a husband is in charge of his wife in the same way Christ is in charge of his body, the church. He gave his very life to take care of it, the church, and be it, the church's savior. Now, this is where many angry, hurt, and despaired women will stand to their feet and shout out loud, what if he's not leading right? He's not leading correctly. Or should I add on, in a way where you don't agree, you don't understand, or you feel like it's not working in your favor. So my answer would be that when these suspicions first became known, is when the decision to possibly discontinue the relationship. Hello? When there is trepidation, why follow someone that you don't fully trust? If you can't see the full vision and don't believe that God is leading the man, husband, in ways that haven't been revealed to you, wife, who are you to blame anyone else but yourself for following them, let alone marrying them? With submission, it must come with knowledge, with trust, and with faith. And then verse 24 says, so you wives must willingly obey. There's another word I know we don't like, but the Bible tells us, be obedient to our God. And the best place to practice that is with the people that we can see, touch, and feel. How can you say that you love God when you see a brother or sister every day and hate them? You ain't never seen God. How can you say you love God when you've never seen and hate your brother and sister that you see all the time? So wives must willingly obey your husbands in everything, just as the church obeys Christ. There's another reference that we can use. It's not just you. Ain't nobody picking on you. And if they are, then it's time to make some changes. Hello. And the husband. Hello, husband. Come on. Come on in the room. I'm talking to everybody. And the husband's high bench watermark is our Lord Jesus himself. Husbands have a greater demonstration of submission, which is love in action, where the woman, wife, is to see and acknowledge the husband's greater commitment to God, wife, and family. She's called and anointed and required to work and support the husband to do those very things. Now, when there is no mutual submission, it's where the devil creeps into the marriage with chaos, hostilities, anger, attitude, and darkness, where there should be light. Light! Again, I say, to a watching and dark world, that marriage is honorable and is an earthly symbol of how God manifests himself through that marital relationship. God has created that through submission, he will abide there, and his holy presence cannot be denied, resisted, or dismissed. Amen. God has created and declared that through submission, our submission, he will abide there. It's an open door. It's a welcoming committee. When God's presence is known, we bow down, we obey, and we submit, and God's holy presence will be there undeniably, cannot be resisted or dismissed. That's the beauty of submission. We just have to redefine and understand the true intent of what submission is. You're tuned in to Fire, the Gospel Experience. Amen. Go right there. After the music break, guess what? We are going to just continue to be a blessing to God Almighty. We are going to continue to lift up his holy, holy name. He is God, and he is God alone. That is a blessing right there. And I thank God because he is the Savior of the world. So says man of God, Derrick Brown, and featuring Vanessa Brown. Jesus is the Savior, and Jesus alone is the Savior of the whole wide world. Hallelujah.
Born unto us.
What's going on, family? What's going on? This is Jerry Rushlock Worldwide, a.k.a. the Batman from Charm City, Maryland, and you're listening to Fire, the Gospel Experience with Ron E. Jefferson, right here on Positive Power, XXI Christian Media.
Ladies and gentlemen, prepare yourself to defeat the enemy with decorated soldiers in the army of the Lord, ministering with the whole armor of God, making sure you will be ready for his return. All the way from Beach Island, South Carolina, God's anointed and appointed for this hour.
I'm going to lay
we got to be ready. Sounds of the Gospel General, Waiting on Jesus. Amen. Goes right there. Yes, it does. Yes, it does. Well, thank all you beautiful people, beautiful souls for joining with me and staying with me for this fire, fire, fire gospel experience. It just blesses my heart. It warms my whole spirit to be able to come and facilitate this time to honor God, not just with the fruit of our lips, but with our mind, bodies, and souls, which is what he requires, what he asks for as a willing sacrifice. I want to thank my special guest, woman of God, educator and author, Stacy Lynn Luckett, for coming in and blessing us with so much truth about our generation behind us in the field of education and how we need to reach out to them and share and show love to them so that they can grow up and be the very ones that's going to take care of us in our later years. You need to remember that part too. Amen. It goes right there. Because you never know who might have to hand you your next meal or wash you or bathe you or take care of you and make sure that you are in good hands. So we need to take care of them with our good hands now. We'll leave you all with one final word. If I may, I sure would appreciate just one final word. Talk about submission. So our Lord Jesus said, be childlike, not childish. Step on some soul. Step on my own. So listen, you all. Y'all be blessed. I'm going to leave y'all with Man of God, Maze, because he sent me some new music, y'all. It's going to be something we have to deal with every day in this spiritual warfare. It's going to be another round. So until the Lord comes, I pray that we learn to confide in one another, encourage one another, and build up confidence in our God, and then pass that confidence on to another brother, another sister. Let us look down on someone to lift them up, not to look down on them as if they are less than, because God is looking down from heaven on us, and he loves us. And he wants us to demonstrate that love for one another so that by that love that is being shared between brothers and sisters in Christ, the world can see God working in us. And then they will want to be in the family of God as we live out our Christian faith. So until next time, y'all be blessed in the beautiful name of our Savior, Jesus. Ha! The only one, Savior and Redeemer.
Hey, yo, this is Maze, and you're listening to Fire, the gospel experience where the praises are going up. Playing for you the best and newest gospel, the most inspiring encouragement under God's heaven. I pray that my music will uplift your spirit and give you new strength. Keep it tuned in and bless your family, friends, and co-workers by telling them about Fire on this station.
My lessons, counting my blessings. Every day I struggle, trying to piece this puzzle. My muzzle stay on me, I might bite like that. My God is in me, so I will fight back. Ay, never, ever gonna doubt his call. I'm in it for the end game. This is not for fame or talk. On my path, I walk the walk. Can't stop me, I'm taking off. Enhancing the spirit, I'm more than a man. I'm a child of the sun. Soaking up the sun rays, the world's still the coldest. Gotta keep my focus when everything look hopeless. I stay on the move, I can't sit around stagnant. Stuck in the blues, no trust in these fools. They gon' do what they do. Going up, going down. Every day another round. Life is happy, life is sad. With the bad, going up, going down, every day another round, life is happy, life is sad, take the good with the bad. back. On my path of walking righteous, much love to the highest. His grace got me covered, got me feeling like a giant. I'm clashing like a titan, demons I'm despising. I see the new horizon, I step closer to Zion. My courage flow like a lion, in the jungle I rumble, still I stumble sometimes. That's how this life was designed, the sun ain't always gonna shine. Gotta keep a hold of your mind, don't want no holes in my mind. So I give it my time, in due time I'm gonna win. Never gone with the wind, my roots strong, I'm dug in. The world spins, so I spin on this cycle, trying to cleanse every inch of my soul. Heaven low, yeah I know, but I can go another round. Going up, going down, every day another round. Life is happy, life is sad. Take the good with the bad. Going up, going down, every day another round. Life is happy, life is sad. Take the good with the bad.
You can try.